Welcome back, guys. Dave Glover Show 97.1. Isn't that weird?
Oh, wow.
I never call it the Dave Glover Show. I always call it DGS. And back when I was on 97.1, I called it the Dave Glover Show. That was weird. That was a moment. That was I'm turning 60.
It happened. I was going to say, I do stuff like that all the time, man.
That's all slide from here. That's what happens.
When I switched jobs before.
20 good days left.
I said I was on Sports Open Line, even though I was on a totally different station. And then when I came back here, I did the same thing for the other one.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
We like to help out as much as we can here in the DGS. And right now we have Christy, who's the regional director at Lupus Foundation of America, Patricia, and you both have lupus. Is it have lupus, attacked by lupus, living with lupus? Like what? How do you guys phrase it?
I say I battle lupus.
Okay.
I feel like I battle it every day. So I say I battle lupus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these questions are for both of you. You guys can both answer every question. It's a very laid back show. So what is lupus? We all know the word, but I couldn't define it very well.
You want me to take that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, lupus is an autoimmune disease. Basically, it attacks some cells. Your cells basically, instead of fighting off things that your body should be fighting off, they end up fighting against your body. And so people who have lupus or live with lupus or battle lupus, no two people have the same symptoms.
Wow.
It affects all parts of your body. And so for that reason, it's been really hard to, it's hard to diagnose. It's hard to treat at times because it can just hit someone in a very different way. Patricia and I have very different experiences, but both have the same disease.
And when-ish did we discover and put a name to it? Are we talking like the 1960s
50s,
or
50s, yeah.
50s, okay.
Yeah.
1950, a doctor who actually is how we got the Plaquenil drug. He actually was studying malaria and then realized that some of the symptoms that we mimic also came from malaria. So they started using this drug, Plaquenil. So it's been the 1950s.
Wow. And what sorts of symptoms do people battle?
Okay. It, as Christy said, it affects everybody different. As far as me, I deal with a lot of joint swelling, a lot of joint pains. I have migraines. Fatigue is out of this world. Like one minute we're here talking to you guys and the next minute I could barely get up to move because I'm just that tired. We deal with hair loss. We deal with mouth ulcers. How you can sometimes recognize people that battle lupus is we get this rash across our cheeks and down our face. We call it the butterfly or the Marlar rash. And we have skin issues.
So it really does just attack your body in different ways.
Right.
So people have been misdiagnosed for probably centuries.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But things are getting better. Some better medications you were talking about.
Yes. So Lupus Foundation of America, they are indeed a blessing. We go to Washington, D.C. in May and really get in the face of our legislators and different people like that to say, hey, we're here and, you know, we need some help. So recently, there has been a lot of money available for research. So as I was saying earlier, there's a lot of new drugs, a lot of new clinical trials, a lot of new opportunities for people that battle lupus to help us live a little longer.
Yeah. And you said your daughter's been diagnosed as well.
Right. So my daughter was diagnosed at 12. So right now we are participating in a study to see if lupus is indeed hereditary.
Or if it's just a coincidence.
Or if it's just a coincidence. It's because there are a lot of people. My aunt has it. So there's a lot of family connection. So they're trying to figure that out.
Yeah. And you were 15 when you were diagnosed?
I was 15, yes.
That's rough.
And it was really rough. And I will say one of the things that I'm really proud of about this organization, every summer we have a camp for young girls who have been diagnosed with lupus. They come from all over the country. We host it here in our region. And I cannot tell you if I had had that when I was 15, I think it would have been a total game changer for me. I felt very alone. I felt very alienated. My friends were tremendous. I'm still friends with that group today. They're tremendous, but you don't know at that age.
Yeah.
You miss a lot of school. I had to stop volleyball. I missed almost my entire freshman year, or first part of my freshman year, I should say. And, you know, similar to Patricia, before these drugs came out, we lived on steroids.
Yeah.
And the bad thing about steroids is it causes a whole lot of other health issues.
Yeah.
And so not until 2012, I believe, or 2011, we had the first drug that was actually prescribed for lupus. It was not a drug.
It was that recent.
It was not a drug to treat a symptom that then causes other issues. It's a drug for lupus. So we're really proud of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Being on heavy steroids when you're a 15-year-old girl.
Oh, it's awful.
Not ideal.
No. The weight the weight management part of it, you know, alone, but then
which helps hurts the joints.
Hurts the joints. And then, I mean, prednisone causes brittle bones. So that's one of the things that I'm dealing with now, because I was on it for, you know, so long to fight flares. That was all they had to give us. And I'm dealing with brittle bone disease right now.
And I actually had to have a hip replacement. I was the youngest person ever to get a hip replacement because at my physician's office, because of the steroid use.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
See, you know, I mean, like my mom just passed away and we had donations to Alzheimer's and a lot of people made a lot of donations. But if it doesn't touch you, you just know the name and you know the basics.
Right. Absolutely.
But for you, it's your life and it's, you know, your mission. So what can we tell people? We have an event that we were going to tell people how to take part in this. But what about people out there who either deal with it or fear that maybe, because a lot of people out there with a lot of things that they don't know what it is and their doctors are giving them a lot of different diagnoses and they're very frustrated.
Well, once again, Lupus Foundation of America here in the Heartland region, we have a support group. I am one of the co-facilitators, very honored and proud of that, one of the co-facilitators of the Lupus support group. So we meet every second Wednesday of the month at the Brentwood Community Center down the street from the Galleria, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So those that are diagnosed, we also have a lot of caregivers that come into the meeting so that they can get information so they can help their, you know, family member or friend that is battling. And it's a group of women, men that come together to see how we can support each other.
That's great. Yeah. That's a great start.
And our walk is coming up, which tremendously funds all the work that we do here. We're currently funding about 400 research projects.
Wow.
We fund many, many, many fellows, and that all comes from the funds that we raise. So our walk is September 7th at 9 a.m. at Creevecore Park, and I look at the walk every year as it's like my celebration of another year and some of the progress or not, depending on the year that I've made or haven't made. And it's just a really great, fun day. And we're so thankful for the support of these stations that have really been tremendous for
us. Yeah, that's great.
So, people can visit our website, lupus.org/heartland, and find out more.
We have a lot of great walks going on in Creevecore Park.
Such a great location.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah, for us with lupus, we look at it as the family reunion.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, if somebody is sick, you don't always see them, whatever, and people make it their business to get to the lupus walk to support each other. So for us, it's like a big family reunion. We get to see people that we don't always get to interact
with.
And
what's the best way to get all the information if people forget? What's the best website?
The best website is for the walk is www.walktoendlupus/St. Louis.
Okay.
That will get them directly to all of the information on the walk and what's going to be going on that day, from registration to when the walk will get started, and then whatever entertainment, food vendors, all of that that we'll have out there.
And we'll put a link up. Okay, perfect. Nice to meet you, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you so much for
your time. We appreciate it.
Guys, DGS 320. So we have a great new way for you to communicate with us. You go to the Odyssey app, you go to the KMOX page, and right next to the orange Listen Live button is an icon of a microphone. You simply click on that, and you have 60 seconds to leave a message. You don't have to use the whole time. If you put something together and you're not happy with it, you can redo it. It can be something that's very timely, like when Wheeler was talking to Ricky Horton about the Cardinals. You could send it. Andrew's going to get it immediately. He's going to look at it immediately. He'll send me a text that says, hey, we have something from Bob about Ricky's point on the Cardinals. We'll play it. The other thing we're doing with it is Ask DGS, where you can ask us all a question or one of us individually a question, and we have one from Jim.
Hey, DGS, here's my question. What's the biggest risk you've taken in your life, and do you regret it?
Good question. I have two. The classic one is my career. I went to WashU Law. I was an attorney. I was spending what to me was a lot of money in advertising for my law firm. I was all in on being an attorney. I had no plan B. I had nothing else that I could do and make any money. And then through my advertising with Emmis and my old company and Stephen DC especially and Corcoran and those kinds of guys, they offered me a job in radio. They offered me my own show in October of 2000. It was not only for free. I didn't get paid for about 6 months to a year, but I was working off my debt, about a $10,000 debt I had ran up on advertising bills that I wasn't making payments on because I wasn't very successful. And so I talked it over with the family, and they supported me, and I quit being a lawyer, and I started being a full-time radio personality, and here I am. It'll be 24 years, October 16th of this year, and it's worked out exceedingly well in every possible way, and hopefully goes another 10 years. My other one is a little weirder and darker. I've talked a little bit about my childhood today, maybe a little bit too much. I didn't know this question was going to come up, but having kids was a giant risk for me because when you kind of have the kind of childhood I did, you can pass that on. It can go bad in different ways. Like we talked about the beach ball popping up out of the, trying to hold it down in the pool. And it could have popped up in a way that affected my kids really adversely. And thank God did not. I have lots of other problems. I've hurt them in other ways, but not in that kind of way. So in hindsight, me being a person, which is why this childless cat lady thing bothered me so much, because had I understood what I understood now, I don't think I would have had kids because it wouldn't have been worth the risk of passing something on or not being a good parent or something like that. I did in a very blind, like, woohoo, what can go wrong? You know, that kind of way. And it's worked out, one, because I have exceptional human beings as kids. That helps a lot, as you know, Wheels. So yeah, those would be my two biggest risks. You guys?
Got any?
I do. Mine is less of a huge thing than Dave's, but the biggest risk I can think of was whenever I got my associate's degrees and then I was going to go on and get my bachelor's degree, and I just kind of decided not to, and because I was already working in radio. And that is a risk because, you know, so many places are like, we don't want you if you don't have a bachelor's. But I think that it ultimately paid off because I'm working in my chosen field and I don't have a bunch of student loan debt.
Yeah, you're at the top of your game.
Yeah, so that
you have your own show on KMOX.
Oh, yeah, I do, don't I? That just feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one where I was like, at the time, I was like, I guess I'm going to go get the old 4-year degree and, you know, do what I'm supposed to do. And I was just going to go to SIUE. And they lost my transcript. And I was like, oh, well.
Yeah, there's a sign.
Yeah, I was like, all right, well, maybe next year I'll go.
You ever think about going back?
Not,
is that important to you?
You know, it has been in the past. But then I looked at how expensive it is. And,
yeah.
And then it's like I would be doing an internship like for KMO, because in broadcast, whatever it is, like an internship is usually a part of a bachelor's degree. It's like I already work in this field. It'd be kind of weird to do an internship.
Yeah.
But no, these days I'm like, if I did go back and get my bachelor's degree, it would probably be in an unrelated field.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's like I have, you know, 10, 11 years
of
experience.
You're doing here.
Yeah, exactly.
Wheels, anything jump out?
I would love to see Rachel be an intern at WIL.
And then come here in the afternoon.
Handing out t-shirts.
That's funny.
On the Dave Clover Show.
I didn't think it was a risk at the time. Now, I mean, we're talking about like big, like life risks, not like jumping off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, because I've done those physical dumb things many times. At the time, I didn't think it was, but looking at it with the perspective that you're talking about, Dave, after the fact, probably what I chose to do to go to college was a huge risk. It was, you know, I had academic scholarship, but not full ride. But I mean, we're looking at probably adding $15,000 to $20,000 a year for the 4 years of undergrad. But I did it for the reason I did it. I wanted to try to play baseball at the highest level. And the highest level in college at that time was Miami. I could have gone to smaller schools and played.
Which is the Wheeler rule.
Right, right, exactly. I this is partly why you learn from what you did. It might not have ended up being the best thing for what could have been a playing career. right? Because I didn't play. I had three at-bats in 3 years on the team, and I sat. But if I didn't do that, if I didn't pursue that at that place, and the reason I had the attachment to that place, the University of Miami, was because my grandmother lived in Fort Lauderdale when I was a kid. And I read the sports section every day. And in the early 80s, the baseball program there was amazing. And it was front page news in the sports section. Mm-hmm. And I learned to be a fan of it by that.
You know what you don't give yourself enough credit for is I know from running track at SIU is that you were on the team in Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't, not just anyone can walk up and say, I would like to be on the team at Miami. They go, oh, okay.
They could have easily said bye.
Yeah,
for sure.
So you were at a very high level.
I had some level, but if I had played at a lower level,
sure,
even D1, I probably would have played because I went and played summer ball and split time and shared time with guys that were starters at other schools.
Yeah.
So I mean, that risk. Mm-hmm. Did not pay off in that way. But mm-hmm. if I did not take that risk, because in my mind I was, if I don't make it here, I'm not going to make it anyway, even though that's totally wrong.
Right.
In my mind at the time, that's what it was. But if I don't do that, I don't meet my wife. I don't get into broadcasting. I don't have the Miami background. I don't know the baseball things that I knew or that I've known since then that I learned being at an elite school and being around major league players and retired major league players and all of that. So the path that I think turned out was perfectly fine
mm-hmm.
because the odds of the big league career were tiny anyway.
Yeah.
And looking at it now, I don't think I had that ability. But at the time, considering the financial cost and all of that, yeah. it was a risk, even though I didn't think it was.
Andrew, can you narrow it down to one regret?
You know, regrets I don't know about. This was kind of a tough question because my life has been defined by not really taking a lot of risks. I'm not a terribly fortunate person, I think, in like the moment-to-moment. It's not usually, I'm not usually
everything's
winning.
Everything's coming up, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm not winning coin flips and dice rolls left and right, so I tend to avoid taking risks whenever
That's
I can.
That's a really interesting take.
Yeah. I guess probably it would be dropping out of college to take the internship here and kind of gambling that I wouldn't need.
So it cost both of you your college degrees.
Well, I wasn't.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dave.
She was doing well. I wasn't exactly killing it in college.
You weren't giving up a lot.
Yeah, it may have been failing out as much as dropping out.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
335 DGS. One of those days that we can just talk to Dave Murray about something else because it's just kind of perfect out there and will be for most of the week. Am I right, Dave?
You are absolutely right. Just quick, 60 tonight, 79 tomorrow, 58 Wednesday night, 81 on Thursday, Friday, great morning, 90 though Friday afternoon, 92 Saturday, 95 on Sunday. So summer making a comeback. We won't feel it a lot on Friday, but certainly over the weekend it will make a comeback. But until then, run. Enjoy.
There's something about the timing of seasons, the length of years that you kind of forget. Like Dave saying 58 degrees at night. And I'm like, one of these days before long, that'll be the high for the day. And I know that because I've done it 60 times now. But you forget.
It's every year. It's amazing.
Like in the dead of winter, when you try to imagine it being 99, you're like, that's never happened.
Oh, yeah, that's like when we have a hot day in the summertime, a lot of folks say, oh, I don't think it's ever been this hot. Well, yeah, last summer it was.
Yeah, you just forget.
This
time has a way of doing that to you. I have the two generations that go after each other the most have probably been the boomers and the millennials, you know, the stupid millennials and okay boomer and all that kind of stuff. And I have a list here of things that millennials and boomers have agreed upon.
Oh, here we go.
You want to hear them?
Yeah.
The way that Gen Z makes hearts with their hands is deeply unsettling.
I guess I don't know the way they make hearts with their hands.
Or is it this one?
No, what you're doing
is
dirty.
That's the K-pop way to do it. I know that from my beloved.
You always got to get the K-pop in, don't you?
Yeah.
No, it's the classic this, and when they make it with each other, it's like a Mizpah, one hand's mine, one hand's yours.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cute.
I am not instantly available at any waking moment just because it's technically possible for me to see your message right away.
That's true.
Yep, like that.
No lies were spoken.
If I say something to you, I'd like an acknowledgement that you heard me.
I'm bad at that.
This is just like basic human decency, and we're like, the millennials and the boomers are getting along, finally.
I do appreciate, as his roommate, I do appreciate Wheeler knowing that about himself.
What?
That you do not respond half the time people are talking to you.
I sometimes don't.
Well, because he's concentrating. He
I know, it's terrible.
Yeah, you are pretty bad about
I'm
that.
I'm terrible about it. Listen, ask Susan, man. She's been doing this for more than 30 years. She knows.
There should be zero work-related texting, especially during non-work hours. All work communication should be through a work email account.
Oh, get over it.
I think it depends.
Look at Jen Alpha over there.
Yeah, see, I think it depends on your industry.
Yeah,
me too.
You know, in hours, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah. If you guys want to text something like about the baseball game later, I'm not going to be like, send it to me via email.
Right. It would be weird if we did it through our Odyssey email, please. That'd be great, by the way.
Tips should be for sit-down meals in restaurants only.
You know what?
I would say primarily.
Yes.
Not only, because there are times, you know, people are doing something a little extra special for you. They can get tipped.
There are times, too, where you go to the restaurant and it's like you order at the counter and then you have to go up and get your food at the counter and they're still asking for a tip. It's like, well, what did you do?
I have that exact thought. It's like, what's your part
of
this?
And that's when you don't tip.
You should be tipping me. That's what I tell them.
Restaurants should offer an actual menu every time, not a QR code, especially when it's hard to read.
Yes.
What's wrong with millennials saying that? Like, what? I get that if it's me or my parents. Why would millennials think that's a big deal?
I don't know. The QR codes are not ideal. I mean, sometimes you scan them and then it's like, oh, I closed out of the browser. Now I got to get it back. It's just a whole thing.
Yeah.
Also, just give me a normal menu.
You know, if you're at they put you in a nice restaurant that's where the lights are dim, right? Mm-hmm. It's like candle right there. And then it's like QR code. I can't.
But at least on your phone, you can zoom in and stuff.
That's true.
If it's hard to see, you can zoom in.
Grocery stores are too much work, from scrolling through an app to clip all the sales to scanning and bagging your own purchases.
Now, not when you use the Schnucks Rewards app.
I knew that was coming.
That lets you in on special deals you may not have otherwise known about. Personalized savings based on what you typically buy.
Like donuts for dingers.
Yeah, there you go.
Not everything needs to be recorded, photographed, and posted online.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not just because I never think about it or remember to do it.
You should not have to download an app for everything you want to use.
Oh,
agreed.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am sick of downloading apps.
Man, they wanted me to, I was making an online return today, and they wanted me to download an app and get an account. I'm like, no, just
take my stuff back.
Take my stuff back.
Give me my money.
More than the apps, I am tired of having to sign up for things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am tired of having to have an account to do anything. I don't need an account with you. I don't want an account with you.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. People should not listen to music or have videos and calls played on their phones in public without headphones.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
I think
people who
do that are not right. There's something going on. Like, you think I want to hear your song that you're playing out of your speakers. It doesn't sound good. Your speakers don't. It's your phone speaker. It doesn't sound good. We're on a bus right now. What are you doing?
The occasion of having a car next to me recently playing music at a crazy loud level.
Sorry about that.
Where you literally feel it in your tires.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. And I'm mad at that person. But then I go back to when I had home speakers in the back of my 71 Dodge Dart playing Back in
Black.
There
you go.
Yes. So I guess it really is just kind of an age and a genre of music.
Now, that said, if they parked in front of your house and did that, that's not cool.
Yeah.
But if you're just around the city.
I just don't know. Here's the oldest thing I'll say. I just don't know how they take it. Like, being in that car that loud would be crazy.
It's pretty good.
I only did it for effect. I only did it to seem cool.
Okay.
Like, if I were going down an old country road, my stereo was not on 10.
Man, I got to tell you, I'm not gonna lie. I'm the person. I don't do it a lot, but there are times when you get that right music going that loud and you're feeling it in your chest. Oh, I love that.
Metallica must be played loud.
Well, that's First of all, yes, it should. And B, that's on my that's like mild sauce for me.
Am I the only one who gets embarrassed when they're like listening to music in their car really loud, and then you end up at a stoplight and I'm just like, oh, nobody wants to hear this.
Oh,
and
God, yeah.
Shamefully turn it down.
I just turn and look at them and give them the horns, and then they're like,
I'll catch my bass kind of booming, and then I realize, like, oh, is this, like, audible outside the car? Like, are people walking by? Can hear it?
Remember, like, 2 years ago, summer day, I had all the windows off my Jeep, and I pulled up next to a car, and it was this black dude who was playing rap, and for some reason, because this is not my move, but for some reason, I was playing Stacy's Mom Has Got It Going On really loud.
Sounds like Wayne.
And he looked over at me, and we met eyes, and we both cracked up. He just, like, flipped me the peace sign. I'm like, I get it, man. I was like an ad for white guys. The number one thing the millennials and boomers agree on, this one was weird, new car headlights are far too bright.
Hey, especially when you got your brights on, am I right? Andrew?
You know, sometimes both of your headlights are out, and that's okay. That's valid. That should be something that millennials think. Put that on the
sheet. Yeah.
It's right valid. It's valid to have both of your headlights be not working.
Thank you, Dave.
Alrighty.
350 DGS. We have Ray Hartman and Kurt Barr coming up for the Think Tank segment. Gorgeous day out there. Headlines
brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, the world's oldest person has passed away at the age of 117. Her name was Maria Brañas Moreira, and her family made the announcement on social media. And Guinness World Records also released a statement confirming her death at the age of 117 years and 168 days. That made her the eighth oldest person with a verifiable age in history.
So then you get the creepy call where you're the oldest person.
Is a woman in Japan.
Is it?
I saw that really? In the story. I forgot her name, but she's 116.
Wow.
I can't even imagine like 85.
I know.
At my current age, I can't think that far.
Yeah.
I mean, so another 67 years for me is what it would take. Well, yeah. 65. Another 65 years.
Yeah.
What has this person seen in their life?
Born in 1908, this woman was.
Crazy.
Yeah, it'd be another 57 years for me. That's nuts.
Basically double your life.
Just double mm-hmm. my life.
Yeah.
A letter in a bottle from 1945 washed up ashore on a beach near Tampa Bay, Florida, after Hurricane Debbie. The letter seems to have been written by a sailor in the final months of World War II. A woman found the bottle while she was walking on the beach. It was from someone named Chris to someone named Lee, dated March 4th, 1945. The woman who found the bottle has contacted the Navy in hopes of learning more about who the letter was from or returning it to the families of Chris or Lee.
Really yeah. cool.
I was obsessed with finding a letter in a bottle as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like in your creek?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I was never at the beach, so where was I going to find one?
I was looking for pirate treasure in, like, Godfrey.
Yeah.
In the woods. I'm like, there's got to be something out here.
We used to find a huge number of Native American artifacts. Like, you guys have been to my mom's house. There's a huge field, and they'd plow it every year, and every year when they would plow it, we would find arrowheads and smashing stones and stuff like that, which it always amazed me, even back then and to this day, what it takes to find an arrowhead. Some Native American has to make it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to turn it into an arrow. Mm-hmm. They have to shoot it at something or someone and miss or be hit with it and then just let it lie there for a couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come along and find it because a farmer plowed the field. That's pretty long putt.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
I also found many a triangular shaped rock where I was like, this is totally an arrowhead.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Oh my gosh.
I'd be like, it's a tooth.
Yeah.
It's a shark tooth right here in the middle of Michigan.
Found a hand axe.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
A post about Taylor Swift is causing a stir on the internet. Did you guys see this? Trump reposted on Truth Social, "I accept," over some Swift-themed photos, including one seemingly generated by AI that shows Swift dressed up as Uncle Sam with the slogan, "Taylor wants you to vote for Donald Trump."
I think that's ill-advised because you don't want to wake that sleeping beast.
The Swifties?
Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, she's been pretty quiet about politics. But if you go out there and say, "I accept your endorsement," you are just giving her a reason to say.
I hate it on a different level. I hate it because that is a man who, as a business person and as a person who is essentially the product that he sells himself, right? He is
the product.
He is the product. He would sue the living bejesus out of someone that used his image for some reason he didn't endorse.
Point.
He should be, I mean, I get it that other people are doing it. He didn't make it. But he shouldn't amplify it. You should have the capacity as an adult to be like, "I would sue someone if they did that to me, so I'm not going to do it to them."
Yeah. He's been posting a lot of AI stuff lately. Mm-hmm. I think that's just the trend mm-hmm. now. You're just going to see it more and more. Finally, one more story. According to a new survey from Flex Jobs, 35% of consumers are not saving for retirement, including 25% of millennials and almost 20% of Gen Xers are reported in the survey to have no savings, but they do plan to have them eventually.
I mean, I get it. When you're struggling because of inflation.
Yeah.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.